Welcome to the We Are Calvary podcast, where our mission is to share Jesus and help people experience life change. Thank you so much for listening. Here's this week's message.
Well, good morning, everybody. Thank you for being here. My name's Taylor, one of the pastors excited to share God's word with you. We're going to be in Matthew chapter 13. If you have your paper Bibles, if not, you can scroll there or it'll be up here on the screens this morning. And an honor to get to share God's word with you. Let's jump right in. Matthew chapter 13, verse 1 says this: that same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat by the lake. And such large crowds gathered around him, and he got into a boat, and he sat there. He sat in it. And while all the people stood on the shore, then he told them many things in parables. And then here's the first parable. A farmer went out to sow his seed. And as he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it. Some fell on rocky places where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. But then when the sun came up, the plants were scorched, and they withered because they had no root. And then there was some other seed that fell among thorns, which grew up and choked the plants. Still, other seed fell on good soil where it produced a crop. 160 or 30 times what was sown. Whoever has ears, let them hear. And then Jesus, if you look at the larger context, he begins right immediately after. We don't have time to talk about it this morning, but he explains why he teaches in parables. And if I were to summarize it, it's because sometimes we can hear but not listen. Does that make sense? How many know you can hear something and not respond to it? So he says, we teach in parables so that you hear it and then you actually listen to it. And then immediately after that, he explains what this parable means. And it's unique because not every parable does Jesus say, here's the parable and then let me tell you what it means. This one he does. And so my assignment this morning is to read those texts in a few moments and help us see what the parable of the four soils really means. Let's pray and ask God to bless our time. Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you that it is alive, that this is a story that happened a couple thousand years ago, but this text is alive and active for us today. May you speak to us. May you speak through me. God, thank you that the Holy Spirit is our teacher this morning and the curriculum is the word of God. May we be open to what you have to say. Shape us to be people of hope, I pray, in Jesus' name. And everyone said amen. Amen, amen. You may be seated. As I was getting ready for this weekend and thinking about this text, I was reminded of something that happened to me a number of years ago. Another church had asked me to come and speak at their youth camp over in Eastern Washington. And so I was there. It was your quintessential youth camp. Big outdoor tent, a bunch of little tents, makeshift kitchen right on the lake. It was a beautiful, beautiful place. And it was, we had a great day on the boats and having a great time together, getting to know this youth ministry. And then it was evening time, so it was time to have our first session. And so it was my job to go up there and begin to kind of unpack what I felt the Lord had laid on my heart for that week for these students. And so I'm up there. And I'm like, it's about like right now in the message. Like I'm just kind of getting into it. And then I see on this side of the peripheral vision, I see like a whole row of students like hitting their arms. And I see like students behind like slapping other students. And I'm like, what kind of youth ministry did I get myself into here? And I'm like, and then next thing you know, I see like people in this section. They're all like, I'm like, what's going on? And then I just hear out of the corner of the tent, it's a whole thing of mosquitoes. And like a swarm of mosquitoes came into this tent and it just attacked everyone all the same. It was, I'd never seen anything like it. So here I am preaching the word and nobody's there. Everyone got up and jetted outside of the tent. And it was quite the experience as a speaker. I was like, what did I say? But anyways, we found out that, it was the mosquitoes. And so everyone went and layered up and they had sweatshirts on and beanies and gloves and all the things so they wouldn't get stung by the mosquitoes. And then we just pretty much anointed the place with Off spray. And anyways, all I share all that to say, that night, I got to tell you, they could care less about what I had to share with the message. That experience was so much so that they were like, they were worried that there was going to be a bunch of mosquitoes that were going to come and attack them. And it got me thinking, metaphorically, what are maybe some of the mosquitoes, and I'm not talking real mosquitoes, but what are the mosquito things that maybe get in the way of us hearing the word of God? What are the things that kind of get in our way? I want to ask a question this morning. Why is it that in one context, someone can preach the word of God and someone's life can be dramatically changed? Like never the same, like Saul to Paul, like changed dramatically, transformed from the inside. And then in that exact same context can be someone that leaves more jaded. It wasn't the word. The word is good. It wasn't the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is always working. It wasn't God's faithfulness. God's always faithful. Why? Why can someone have their life changed in a small group and someone else leave exactly the same? Why can someone come to the word in the morning and have it change their life and then the other person leave exactly the same? Why can someone come to a Sunday morning at 9:30 and they leave energized, refreshed, full of the Holy Spirit and another person leave not the same? Leave maybe the same way they even came. Well, this is the question that Jesus answers in the parable of the soils. He talks about, actually, it's the condition of our hearts that determine how much God's going to work and going to move. He does it by talking about a farmer, seed, and then soil. The farmer is the person sharing the word of God. The person sharing the good news of the kingdom, the good news of the gospel. We're talking about on earth as it is in heaven. The farmer is sharing the good things of heaven that God has revealed to us on earth through Jesus Christ, through the word of God, through the promises of scripture. This is what the farmer's job, and the seed is that very message. The seed is the gospel. The seed is the good news of the kingdom. And then the soil is the heart condition. It's where our hearts are. And so he gives four examples in this parable, four examples of different types of hearts and the different responses to the seed. Let's jump in this morning. Are you ready? Here's the first soil Jesus talks about is the hard soil. This is a resistant or a hardened heart. This is when someone hears the message about the kingdom. Matthew chapter 13, verse 19. This is what Jesus says. When someone hears the message about the kingdom and does not understand it. And so the evil one comes in, snatches away what was sown in his heart. And the seed sown, this is the seed sown along the path. This is the hard soil. This is the resistant / hardened heart. I want you to get the picture. Think of a field, right? And oftentimes on the way to the field, there's a pathway. There's a pathway the farmers would walk, and there's a pathway that everyone would walk on the outside of the field. This is the path. So a farmer is walking along, and the farmer is spreading seed, and as he's spreading seed, some of the seed, it accidentally falls on the hardened path. This is the path that is most constantly traveled. I want to call it this morning, this is the path of culture. This is the road that everybody walks. This is the road most traveled. This heart, this hard soil, this heart has difficulty believing God for what he says. This hard soil, this heart, this is the heart that's given themselves to everything and been trampled down by life. And so their heart becomes hard because of being trampled by the experiences of their life, of sin, or maybe a theology that has shifted the way they see the world and it's affected their hearts. These people with a hard soil, with a resistant, hardened heart, they can hear the word, but the experiences of their life have given their hearts a place for the enemy to come in and to snatch up the word before it can actually change their life. Someone with hard soil will say something like this: I've just never done this before. It doesn't seem like it's for me. They'll be closed off. Or a hardened heart will say something like this: I just don't want to have to deal with this. And if I get into that, I'm going to have to deal with this. Or a hardened heart says, it's too late. I'm too far gone. There's no way for God to actually change my life. A hardened heart would say something like this: I already tried that. When I was in high school, I tried that. When I was in college, I tried that. When I was a young adult, I tried that. Or earlier in life, I tried that. So we'll use these excuses to say, yeah, I it's not for me. I'll keep it at a distance. Hardened soil, hardened heart. We'll use words like this: never, or always, or impossible. These are common words in the vocabulary of a person with a hardened heart. And please hear me this morning. Someone with a hardened heart or hardened soil, this isn't just somebody that is a non-Christian. Though this does apply to that. This isn't just somebody that you might even be here this morning and you're super resistant to faith. This is not that. This actually also can be believers. A believer that has a hard heart, and a hard heart isn't always a hostile heart. You could be here with a hard heart this morning because you're tired, or you're full of grief, or you have disappointment that's come into your life, or unanswered prayers, or maybe you're here today and you're angry at God over a circumstance that you wish would have gone another way, and you wish God would have done another thing, and you maybe are here this morning and you've constantly believed a lie, and you've practiced and you've rehearsed that lie over and over and over. You've rehearsed your disappointments. You've rehearsed your unrepentant sin. You've allowed bitterness or resentment to remain in your heart. And over time, it doesn't start that way, but over time, your heart begins to get hardened for the things of God. And the Bible says, Jesus says, it's that place where the heart gets hardened, where the seed, it falls, but it has no place to go. So birds come up and they snatch it up. It's kind of like if you were to redo your yard, and I've redone a couple of yards. If you were to redo your yard, it's kind of like you can go and buy the same seed they put at the PGA Tour, right? And you can like get ready for the best golfers to want to come golf in your backyard, right? And you can have the best seed. But how many know if you throw the seed on the concrete, you can water the seed as much as you want. But how many know there's no grass that's going to grow on that concrete? This is the hardened heart. The seed of the word of God, the seed of the gospel is powerful, but it can't penetrate because of the experiences of our life or the things that have turned us not soft for the word of God. That's the first soil. Number two, what's the second soil? The second soil is the rocky soil. The rocky soil. This we'll categorize as an enthusiastic but shallow heart. Catch what Jesus says in verse 20 of Matthew chapter 13. The seed falling on the rocky ground, the rocky soil, it refers to someone who hears the word and at once receives it with joy. But since they have no root, they last only a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, they quickly fall away. This is the rocky soil. This is the soil of like rocks. The seed comes and it hits the rocks. And the thing about rocks is there's enough space barely for the seed to go into the soil. And it's received and desired. The rocky soil, Jesus says, yeah, it's enthusiastically received. There are often people with this kind of a soil in their heart, the rocky soil. There's room for a quick response. Like you'll be at a church service and you'll hear the message preached. And it's like, yes, I need that. It's received with joy. You might be moved to tears or feel convicted or know that change is desperately needed in your life. And someone with rocky soil in their heart, they will probably even take a step. They'll hear the word of God and they'll know, I must take a step. Or I need to ask forgiveness from my spouse. I need to ask forgiveness from that friend. Or I know I'm going to change. I'm going to make a promise to change. I will never do that again. It's this enthusiastic and yet even genuine response to the word of God. And the heart engages for some time, but it's fragile. And there's poor follow through. And it doesn't last. It can't handle or sustain the storms or the regular things of life because it doesn't have depth. It's just right on the surface. It's just right there. The seed can only go a little bit down. There's no way it can create roots. I want to call this the surface level Christian. Have you heard that term before? This is a term that's often used in church circles that describes Christians that are surface level. They might attend a church service, or they might do some things for God, but it hasn't gone deep into their life. Their Sunday morning faith, but it doesn't really affect their Monday morning. And Sunday morning faith, but it doesn't really affect their Wednesday nights. There's just this surface level where you want some things from God and it's genuine and you want to follow the Lord and it's genuine, but it hasn't really allowed to go to the holistic parts of your life. This is what I'll call surface level Christian. And I want to poke a little bit right there with the surface level Christian, because I think we all can find ourselves in seasons of our lives, we can kind of drift into this level of surface level. And I want to poke and ask, like, what's the deeper reason why many of us can often become surface level? I think it's because of this. Usually it's because there's something in our life that's not surrendered to the Lord. And so the seed comes into our life. I just want you to like get this picture. Like the seed of the word of God comes into our life and then it's met with something unsurrendered. So like genuinely invited into the soil, but right at the top of the soil is something unsurrendered. Like we'll say something like this. Very genuinely, our heart will go, I want Jesus, I want change, I want forgiveness. And that's genuine. But at the same time, we'll say, don't touch this relationship, don't touch my comfort, don't touch my money, don't, you pastors better not ask me to do anything else at the church, don't change my schedule, don't ask me to do more, don't touch my reputation, don't touch my dreams. So we'll say something like, God, I want your love, I want your grace, but I don't want you to touch these other parts of my life. Is this making sense? So you, the soil, the seed comes into the soil and there's something unsurrendered there. And so the seed cannot create roots. The roots hit something hard underneath. And this is someone that gospel has been received emotionally. Catch this today. The gospel has been received emotionally, but not comprehensively. We've made an emotional decision with our minds, but we haven't allowed it to go down to our hearts. This is where the seed of the rocky soil, this is where the psalmist stakes inspiration for transformation. And there's a quote that I know Pastor Daniel has shared, maybe even Pastor Ray, but I feel it's so fitting for this message by Dallas Willard. He says, the greatest issue facing the world today with all of its heartbreaking needs is whether those who are identified as Christians will become disciples. Hello. It's in other words, it's those that are on the surface are willing to allow the seed to go a little bit deeper into their soul. I just want to take a moment, and I want to encourage maybe some of you that have been newer to faith. And one of the graces that's upon Calvary Community Church is there's many, many people that find themselves coming through our doors that are seeking Jesus or looking for faith, or you've heard through about Calvary, you've driven by 410 a million times, and you're like, I should go give that big gray building a chance to see what's going on in there. And you show up here and you hear the message of the gospel and you hear God's love and you hear God's grace and you make a response to God's grace and a response to God's love and your life begins to change. And I want to encourage you, if you are new to that journey, number one, we as a church family, we are so thankful that you're here. We're so thankful that you would give Jesus a shot. And maybe you've signed up for Rooted, or maybe that you're beginning a community or mentorship and you're learning what this means to follow Jesus. Here would be my encouragement, my pastoral encouragement to you, is please don't see this as just a short season. Please don't just say, I'm just gonna try this for a month or two and see what happens. That is the rocky soil. It's just kind of like, I'm just gonna kind of dabble. Can I tell you today? Sometimes God works through instant. And how many know God can do that, right? I've seen God change people in a church service. I've seen God change people in a car ride. I've seen God change people at a youth revival. I've seen God change people at a phone conversation. I've seen God instantly change people. And the Bible says that that does happen. But sometimes, more often than not, God chooses to change people over a long period of time. It's not our lives that get changed in a day, it's our lives getting changed daily. And this is oftentimes what it means to follow Jesus. It's the daily in the Word of God, it's the daily prayer time, it's the weekly showing up to church, it's committing yourself to community even when it's not comfortable. It's inviting people into your life for accountability. It's over this long period of time. How many people can preach with me this morning that you've been following Jesus for a season and you can look back and go, I'm really grateful I didn't quit at 1 month, because what I am 5 years later, 10 years later, 15 years later, that was a baby me. And now I've just kind of grown and I've matured and now I'm not a toddler and I'm not a teenager, but I'm beginning to have what 1 Corinthians says is like the meat of faith. I'm beginning to chew on the meat of the things of the gospel more. Why? Because we don't quit. And because we keep showing up to faith. So keep showing up. Keep showing up when it's not easy. Keep showing up when someone irritates you. How many have been irritated by a church person before? I have, right? How many have heard a pastor say something? I don't really like that. I have. I don't even like the things I say sometimes. And at the end of the day, we keep showing up. And we don't just let one thing get us off the path, but we keep showing up. This is the temptation is to be shallow in the rocky soil. So this morning, I want to remind you, it's always too soon to quit. Anything of value, it takes time. It takes devotion. It takes faithfulness. It takes consistency. But this is the condition of the rocky soil. Hope that makes sense this morning. Number three, the thorny soil. This is a divided or a crowded heart. Jesus talks about the thorny soil in verse 22. The seed that falls among the thorns refers to someone who hears the word, but the worries of this life and the deceitfulness of wealth, they choke the word, making it unfruitful. What's a seed that falls on thorny soil? This is where a seed can fall, and it's growing, and it grows substantially, but it doesn't bear any fruit. The right before it can grow fruit, there's competing desires, the worries of life and the deceitfulness of wealth. They come in and they choke off the work of God. This is a heart, I'll call it this, this is a heart that has divided attentions. Divided attentions, where the seed begins to go deep, but then too many weeds, too many distractions, too many things come in and they begin to crowd out the seed. I was trying to think about how to give an analogy for this. And I was thinking about, it's kind of like this. Some families, maybe this is a rhythm where you come home and you're beginning to kind of wind down for the night. Maybe someone's making dinner. The kids are playing, and someone might just turn on the TV, and then the TV is just kind of there in the background, right? There's a baseball game on, or there's a football game on, or there's the news, or there's a show that your kids are watching, or there's a Hallmark movie, or there's just something going on in the background that no one's like really paying attention to, but it's there, and you can hear it, once in a while, you kind of engage and look at it, but then you go back to making dinner. Or once in a while, you go and engage, but then you go back to hanging with your kids or change the laundry, and then you go and take, like, is this making sense a little bit? Like, when something's just on the TV, but you're not really paying attention to it, it's just there in the background. This is kind of like a soul with divided attentions. It's like, you know, the word of God is there, and you know church ought to be a priority, and you know you got to be in community, but it's just like slowly but surely these little things begin to crowd your heart, and you begin to get your attention focused on other things. And it's not necessarily bad things. You never lose your attention for God. You know that God's there, but you just begin to fill your life with other things. And like it's like your career, your job, or your business, it begins to come first. Or your sports and your kids' sports begin to come first. Or success or comfort or financial security or social media or your reputation or your achievement. These things begin to get added to your life. And usually it's not intentional. It's just kind of like, over time, things get added and a bunch of weeds come in, and the blackberry bushes, are you familiar with blackberry bushes? They begin to come in and they begin to kind of crowd out everything else in the garden. And we realize this, that the plant doesn't die because of the lack of life. It dies because there's too much competition. There's too much vying for its attention. And the tragedy about a seed that falls in thorny soil is that from a distance, you can look at it and go, that thing's healthy. It's tall, it's growing, it's green. But then you look closer and you see that there's no fruit. How many know a farmer could care less how tall their plant grows if no fruit comes from it? In the same way, Jesus could care less how good we look if there's no fruit from our lives. This is thorny soil. Divided attentions, not focused on the right things. I love what Tim Keller is, he's my guy. I love Tim Keller. He says this, anything that is more important to you than God, anything that absorbs your heart and imagination more than God is an idol. What has your attention this morning? What did you wake up thinking about? What right now in the daydreaming of a message that I'm not really focused, where's your mind go? When you go to sleep tonight, what's the last thing that you'll think about before your head hits the pillow? Those things are the things that we ought to capture. Those things have our attention. If we're not careful, they begin idols, and idols begin to come in through the thorny soil, and they begin to crowd our hearts. I love what Jesus says, Matthew chapter 6, nobody can serve two masters. So those are the first three soils. And then here's the last soil. This is the first three are the negative ones, the ones that can affect our soul negatively. And then the fourth one is the positive one. And then Jesus says, the one that falls on the good soil. The seed that falls on the good soil. What do we call this? Let's call this a surrendered will. A will that's surrendered to the things of God. And Jesus says this in verse 23, but the seed falling on the good soil, it refers to someone who hears the word and understands it. This is the one who produces a crop yielding 100, 60, or 30 times what was sown. I love the picture of a seed falling on the good soil. When the seed of the word of God, the seed of the kingdom, the seed of the gospel, it falls on good soil, it begins to go deep. This is a person that hears the word, accepts the word, and their life over time produces fruit because they're surrendered to the things of God. See, good soil, it's not a perfect life. Good soil doesn't mean that weeds won't come occasionally. It doesn't mean there won't be struggles at times, but good soil, it's surrendered. It's surrendered to the things of God. The heart posture is different. These are people that receive God. They don't reject him or allow the seed to go shallow. It's an acceptance. Say, God, I want what's best. I want your ways more than I want my ways to be. This is the good soil. And today, there are people in this room, all of us actually, are in one of those four places. And I actually might say, all of us have aspects of our lives that are in one of those four places. You can have multiple of those at the same time. You can be navigating some of these things at the same time. So what do we do with this? What do we navigate? What are some invitations from this text? Here's, I think, three invitations from this text. The first one is this. I think we must learn to cultivate good soil in a desert world. We must learn to cultivate good soil in a desert world. What do I mean by that? Jesus calls us exiles. I don't know if, you know, I'm sure you know this. This isn't heaven yet. You know that, right? There's a lot of things we navigate, and one day we won't have to, but for now, we are exiles living in a kingdom, living in an earth that is not acceptant of the things of God. This is a world in which we live, that the soil is like desert land. What we're attempting to do to live as followers of Jesus and the times in which we're living and the culture in which we're living and the state in which we're living and the places in which we're living, this time and this place, what is it? It's a desert out there, and it's hard to live to the things of God, so we must learn to cultivate a garden in the middle of a desert. And this is hard, and it's difficult, but this is the invitation this morning, to realize the moments that we have, and to realize that as our life looks like a beautiful garden in the middle of a desert, that will be the thing that intrigues people to come to the Lord. Because they'll be looking around and seeing all this cactus and all these other things, and then they'll see your life and see what God's done in you. And here's the good news about this parable. This is the best news of the morning. Regardless of where your heart is at, you have a hardened heart, turned off to the things of God, not even interested, and you're just like, this is all cute and stuff, preacher dude, but like, I don't even want that. You might be there. You might be on the rocky soil this morning where you've had this surface level Christianity. You've kind of dabbled with God when you want and just retreated when you didn't. Or you might be here and there might be that thorny soil and these weeds are trying to choke out the good things that God's doing. Maybe it's sin. Maybe it's an addiction. Maybe it's a relationship that's not good. Maybe it's misfocused priorities. Maybe there's all these little things that are going on in your life and it's choking out the things that God wants to do in your life. Maybe you're here this morning and that's true for one of those things or all three of those things. Let me tell you the good news this morning. Jesus is the good gardener. And you don't have to stay the way that you are. It doesn't always have to be this way. See, this parable is not about a bunch of people trying to figure out how to till up their own soil and figure out how to make it better. That's not what this parable is about. This parable is about a good gardener who loves his kids, who is gracious towards us, who loves us deeply, that sent Jesus for us to take our place and to begin to exchange our sin for his grace, our brokenness for his healing, our addiction for his freedom. We begin to exchange these things. He begins to come into our hearts. He begins to take away and rock away at some of the rocky places and chip those away and begin to find the beautiful soil underneath it. He begins to come and take the blackberry bushes and begin to pull them out and begin to say, let's find something beautiful here. This is the good news. The gardener is in the room. You don't have to stay the way you are. You can change today. Today is the day to come and to create something beautiful in your soul, not by your devotion, all by his grace today and the work of the Holy Spirit. This is what this is about today. Amen. So today's the day. Don't leave the same way you came. You can change today. God's here in the room. Number two, the invitation from this is that we can implant the word of God humbly. So if cultivating good soil is repentance and bringing these things before the Lord, after we repent, we must receive something different. See, when we repent, repentance is twofold. It's turning from something and turning towards something else, right? So look at James chapter 1. I love this passage of scripture. Therefore, put away all filthiness and rampant wickedness and receive with meekness. This is humility. Receive with humility the, what's that word say? Implanted word, which is able to save your souls. What's the invitation today? The invitation is to get the word from here and bring it into here. This is the seed of the word of God. A seed that just stays in the bag doesn't actually ever produce any fruit, but the seed that goes into the soil, when the word of God actually comes into the soil of your life and you implant it into your life, then good things can happen. And so we repent from the things that have maybe been weeds or rocky soil or hardened heart, and we turn towards the word of God and we begin to get promises of the word of God into our soil. For example, let me just give you some examples. If you're here today and you've repented from a life that is too busy and me focused and you need a kingdom vision, you need to implant Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, seek first his kingdom and his righteousness and get that seed into your heart today. You might be here and you've been spiritually dry. Your heart is hardened. You need to take the seed of the word of God of John chapter 4, verse 14. You need to plant it into the soil of your heart where Jesus says, whoever drinks of the water I give them will never thirst. You're here today and you need direction. You're feeling lost, wondering what's next, and you've tried to manipulate every situation to try and you're at the end of your rope and you come to your knees and say, I need to plant the seed of Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 into my soul. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Lean not on your understanding. In all of your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your paths straight. You're here today, and suffering has come to your season. How many know suffering does arrive to all of our lives, one way or another, one season or another? None of us avoid that. And so instead of your heart getting hardened over the season and jaded about what you're navigating, maybe you need to actually cultivate your heart even more and put James chapter 1 in there. It says, consider it pure joy when you face the trials of many kinds and find the joy of the Lord even in the hardship of life. Maybe some of you have repented over some sin or some things that you're navigating. You just feel so tempted all the time and you need to implant some scriptures. Psalms chapter 119, how can a young person or how can a person stay on the path of purity? Well, by living according to his word. Or 1 Corinthians chapter 10, it says that there's no temptation that has overtaken you except for what is common to mankind. You have a truth that you can come out of temptation. Or you plant this seed into your soul. I have hidden God's word in my heart that I might not sin against him. Is this making sense this morning? When you're feeling anxious, you cultivate the soil of your heart and you implant the seed of, don't be anxious about your life, that Jesus would say in Matthew chapter 6. Or in Philippians, don't be anxious about anything, but be prayerful about everything. Or when you're feeling fearful about a situation, you cultivate the soil and then you implant the seed of, don't be fearful. There's no fear in love, for perfect love casts out all fear. This is what the scripture says. You implant, be strong and courageous, that God says to Joshua, what he says to us today. This is the invitation to implant the promises of this book into here. Oh, it's not self-help. Self-help will take you, will get you about 30 days. This is Jesus stuff. This is lifelong transformation. This is from now until eternity kind of stuff. Lastly, this morning, invitation is just trust that over the seasons of life, God will bring the growth. Just trust this morning that God will use the fall seasons, metaphorically. God will use the winter times. God will use the spring times. God will use the summer times. If you'll cultivate the soil and put good seed there, what do you do? Wait upon the Lord. Abide in me, and I in you, and you will bear much fruit. So you create space for the seed of the word of God, and then you abide with him. And then you just trust as you're faithful to walk with him. He'll provide the fruit. How much fruit? Up to God. When's the fruit come? Up to God. I want to be like Psalms chapter 1, which is one of my life verses. For blessed is the person who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And on that law, the word of God, he meditates day and night. The person that does this is like a tree planted by streams of water. And all that he does, he prospers. I want to have that kind of a life. How about you? Planted, rooted, established, the seed goes down deep. I was thinking this morning, I had them put a picture. I didn't share this last night, but I had them put this picture in there. That's our 10-month-old Cal. The other day I was in the kitchen and I heard someone playing the piano and I thought it was our 5-year-old. And then I turned the corner and lo and behold, Cal had figured out how to climb up there through the piano bench and then was just playing the piano. And it was one of those moments that the Holy Spirit just kind of hit me. I think he's going to be a Beethoven. How about you? We're praying for it. And it kind of just hit me because that piano, it's a family thing. It was in my parents' house. Every place Megan and I have lived, that piano has come with us. And this is means a lot to me because when I was in like 5th grade, my parents, I remember it in my mind that they made me take piano lessons. I don't know if that, is that those kind of memories. I was like, I don't really want to do it, but like it's something we're doing. And so I remember doing piano lessons and did it for a year or two and kind of picked up some important things and then ended up playing some other instruments later. But then I never really forgot some of those things that I had learned when I was just in elementary school. And I got to Seattle Pacific where I went for my undergrad. And I found out that there was a music building there that the rooms weren't locked. And so there's these grand pianos in there. And I would go there at like 8 or 9 o'clock at night and I would just begin to teach myself piano. And some of the foundations of what I learned as a kid, I would pick them up and would YouTube videos and just, you know, it was painful at the beginning, but it was like, you know, you're just kind of figuring out how to do it. And eventually I kind of got to a point where I could start playing some of the worship music that we play here and found the chords online. And just like, it was just one of those things that at the end of my days, I would walk across campus to the other side of campus to the music building and would just spend an hour or two just in the presence of God playing the piano. And I never really realized how transformational that was gonna be for me. And so then when we got married and my parents said, hey, you wanna take the piano? And we took the piano and we brought it to our house. It's just been a rhythm for me. Like on times when ministry gets hard, you know, like if I'm gonna be honest with you, there's been times even recently where my heart's been hard towards certain situations and maybe I had some rocky soil and some distraction and some things that I've just haven't been, and it's like you're going through ministry and someone says something and it's just like, it kind of throws you for a loop and these things happen and it's like your soul can get really complicated and like this piano has been like my safe place. Like the piano has been where like I'll go and I'll just begin to play, and I'll never play in front of all of you guys, by the way. I just want to make that super clear. But I'll just play like, "Great is thy faithfulness," or "Amazing grace," or "How deep the Father's love for me." And it's like every chord that I pound out and every song that I play, every tear that I weep over those keys is like this hardened heart begins to soften. And it's like I go there in this moment and I'm mad or angry or frustrated, and it's like the Holy Spirit just begins to cultivate new things in my life and begins to remind me of my calling. It begins to remind me of what he's doing and remind me of what he's capable of doing and remind me of he is God. And I'm not going to use words like "that's impossible" or "you'll never." And it just begins to soften my heart with the seed of the word of God. I want the same for you. I want you to have these spaces and these places where your soul can just begin to be tilled back and the good seed can come in. Hope this makes sense this morning.
Thank you so much for listening. If you'd like to partner with us in sharing Jesus and helping people experience life change, you can support our mission by clicking the link in the description. If this message has impacted you, please subscribe and share. To learn more, visit wearecalvary.com. We'll see you back next week.